Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. As the man says, I am Dr. Vincent Medici. Welcome to the show. Happy New Year. If it's still lingering for you, well, you need to get on with it. It's January, what, 16th, 17th today? Time to think about big concepts in healing. I want to see if we can put together some major concepts. I'm going to use a lot of words that many of you who listen to the show regularly will understand, but I want to piece them all together now to give you a deeper insight in the event that you can take action. Take action in what way? Well, we all have this interest today in holistic medicine, herbal medicine, things to do for your health, health practices, so on and so forth. And if you're evolved enough or along your path in an evolved enough way, meaning it's not new to you, you know how it is when you meet some people and organic food is a new concept and you've been going to farmers markets for 25 years. I'm talking about if you've evolved along your path for a decade or two, there's an understanding that you need to have, and that is that as you prioritize your health choices, the things you spend your money on in health, at the top of the list should be the number one concept. And that number one concept we're going to discuss today under the term geopathic stress. Geopathic stress. It says in the tradition that's resulted in the American market for herbal medicine, for all the things you do for your health, in that tradition, those traditions, if you trace these practices back, put geopathic stress as the number one place you would put your focus. And what that means is your health, your wealth, your prosperity, your ability to resist cancer, disease, age slowly, make your dreams come true, all in one big bundle, was first and foremost related to where you lived, where you put your feet. Could you align yourself with the Earth's dynamic energy? Now, what that means today is a new field in science, in that certainly, as some of us know, the biochemical plane is going to give way in this century to the bioelectric plane. Biochemistry will be superseded, as it already is, by biophysics. And that biophysical way of looking at the world will vindicate. It will bring to the forefront what our ancestors understood. Thus, today's show, beginning with an insight into the Vikings, what the Vikings knew about the world and about health. Two cultures in Europe, close to many of the audience's traditions, ethnicities, were the Scandinavians and the Highlanders. Both these cultures understood how to plant their feet in the earth and where to plant their feet in the earth and how to build their homes. And they were granted many of the benefits and many of the gifts to their health that followed with those traditions. So we've got the guys that built Stonehenge, and then we've got the guys that sailed across the Atlantic in 800-900 AD, long before Columbus, long before the classic known European world even speculated that you could do that. The Vikings were doing it a good 600, 700 years earlier. We have to respect why. What were these people taking in from the stars? This is pre-Christianity. When Stonehenge went up, it was well before the advent of Christ. There's no argument about that. And what Stonehenge represented, well, there is much argument about that. Stonehenge, if you don't know, is that huge megalith. It's this amalgam of stones, to put it simply, in England, representing what? Well, nobody really knows. But what we do know is that the ancients understood by a way of living how to situate themselves in the earth after they sensed it. And that sensation to the earth was, in a sense, what their religion was based on. It was a life's choice based upon a relationship to what they sensed coming out of the soil. And this has been euphemized in many of the sayings. For instance, in Eastern Europe, there's a maxim that says, build your barn where the door, where the dog lies. Build your barn where the dog lies. It means when you push the frontier into a virgin territory of land, take your life savings, your dowry, whatever you have, to plant your feet into the soil. You have a choice to make, and that's a big choice. Now think about that. Think about that today relative to renting an apartment or buying a home. Think about how one, the earlier one, the one that basically, the success of which hedged on the fact that if you put your feet into the earth and grew your soil, grew your farm, whatever you grew to survive upon, your very sustenance, and you made the wrong choice, meaning your relationship with the earth, your judgment, whatever you used to decide where you were going to sow your seed was defective. It could mean the end of you. So really, you are hard-pressed to develop a sensibility, a sensitivity to how to garner from the earth little signs and signals. And out of that comes these euphemisms like, build your barn where the dog lies. Meaning animals know where the fertile fruits live. Now if you, from the standpoint of anthropology, begin to study tribes, cultures that have to have exquisite sensitivities to the earth, and that their survival, their prosperity depends upon it. The nomadic cultures. The Vikings were nomadic. Ancient times, there was populations that were much more nomadic than even agrarian. You know how it is on the freeway? When there's less cars, it's better. Everybody kind of spreads out. People in an elevator. If there's two people in an elevator, they separate. Given any space and any living population, the natural order, the natural energetic order is to spread out and allow for space. When the fertility of the earth and a minimal population were combined thousands of years ago, we didn't have agrarian cultures. They were more oriented towards nomadic culture because the earth could afford nomadic culture. The earth could sustain a nomadic existence, and a nomadic existence meant pick up stakes, smell the fragrance in the wind, and put your feet in the earth and get really, really good at doing that. Because if you made a mistake on a new space, it could be fatal. On the other hand, if you could do that, if you could master that, then you could have wonderful things. Now, you should be able to take that today all the way to the cancer wards at Kaiser. That's no small leap, admittedly. But if you think about it, when we have a body in disease, when a cell goes aberrant, when its physiology collapses, when that cell goes apoptotic, senescent, or malignant, we can play around with all the biochemistry we want till the end of time. But just as sure as I'm doing the show today, that biochemical model is presently being replaced by a biophysical one. The biochemical shift, What we call the bad food we ate and the bad air we breathed, so on and so forth, is simply a secondary manifestation of an energetic shift, something in the world of the electron, the proton, the neutron, something in the world of the magnetic field to which your cell is exposed to is not working for the cell. The electrical magnetic field of the cell is defective to the point where it creates a biochemical change, and that biochemical change causes an adaptation of the cell. And that adaptation of the cell goes after your genetic defect. And your genetic effect, under the weight of that biochemical driven by electromagnetic shift, produces your symptom and ultimately your disease. If you can understand that, welcome 2015 with open arms. Truly do that for yourself. Now, what does that mean for you? It means where you plant your feet at night, in your home, your apartment, the house you bought, the house you're leaving, the city, state, country you live in, the clothes you wear, all really matter because they control that magnetic field. So let's go all the way back for a moment or two, just to give you some of the anthropology, and then we're going to give you some of the science, and then we're going to piece it together. All right, here's a book, picture number two. If you're new to the show, get on the website, straighttalk.cc, not .com, .cc, and look at the pictures. Go to the shows. Today's show 191. We started the show in April of 2011. It's now January of 2015. That's 191 shows. You've got it all covered in those shows, 191 hours from soup to nuts. Go to picture number two. Picture number two. Geopathic Stress, Eva St. Clair, Peter Carlton. Great book. Don't know if it's around anymore. Geopathic Stress, probably on Amazon somewhere. Another book, picture number one. Geopathic Stress, How Earth Energies Affect Our Lives, Jane Terrell Reed. This stuff's out there. Now go to picture number three. I'll read a little bit to you from picture number three. This is out of the first book there by Sinclair. Ancient Knowledge of Earth's Radiation. Harmful Earth Rays. Now, what is this about Earth rays, harmful? What nonsense is this? Very simple. Proven. Can't be argued with as far as the Earth's core is metal, and that metal spins at about 10,000-11,000 miles an hour. When you take tons and tons and tons of metal, gazillion amounts, and spin it at 10,000-11,000 miles an hour, it generates a magnetic field. Done. That's what we're talking about. So harmful Earth rays, known as geopathic stress, are a natural phenomenon as old as the planet Earth. Now we start to get in. Again, I'm reading from one page out of this book that we placed in square number two. I'm on square number three. The Chinese knew these Earth's rays could be harmful. They avoided building houses over stressed areas. The laws of the times required careful dousing. Now, dousing is not a Chinese thing exclusively. Notice we just introduced the word dousing. We were talking about ancient China dousing. There's a lot of guys with kilts out there running around Europe dousing today. And back when Stonehenge went up, believe me, they were dousing. What is dousing? Remember the maxim, build your barn where the dog lies? An old farmer's tale, all those farmer's tales? Coming out of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years of experience where it all matters, because if you make a mistake, you, your family starve. From those traditions came understandings that nature was something to be sensed.